Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Bareback Facts. I have with me a special guest. You just heard his music. That's his song, My Drug. And with me today is the one, the only, Liquid Assassin. Liquid, how are you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for having me, bro.
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I'm on the road. I know you. Yeah, I know you are. You've been very busy. You're actually just getting into your hotel, so let's dive into this thing, man. You're on tour right now. You're enjoying it. Tell everybody what it's like to be on tour and how it's going right now.
I mean, tour's good, man. We just it's been a change of weather, man, so it's got me a little bit sick, but it's been good, man. The show's been cool. A few fans coming out and messing with us every night, so yeah, man, I really can't complain, you know what I mean?
Hey, I mean, it's great when people show you the love. It's great when you got people coming out to see you. You were born June 28th, 1982. You're from Minnesota, and you started music at 16. So you had a young start. Tell us a little about your early formative time in music. Where you got your influences from, and what it was like to sort of grow up with that hunger to do what it is you're doing now.
Man, honestly, man, my older brother like put me on a lot of music when I was younger. And I say probably my high school years, I was like rapping a lot of stuff I heard, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't writing a lot of music or nothing like that, but I was rapping a lot of stuff I heard. And then, I mean, I heard Brother Lynch, I think it was like one of the first CD is actually like one of his albums. I learned like the whole album, you know what I mean? So I was rapping that like through the hallways, like just rapping the music. Not many people knew who he was, where I was from. So a lot of people assumed it was my music. Well, like one of my buddies called me out one day and he was like, man, spit that song that you did, you know, that one you wrote. And I'm like, I didn't write no music. I was like, that's Brother Lynch. And people didn't really know who he was. So he was like, man, but you sound good rapping it. So you should write your own music. So I remember when I was like 16 or 17, I started writing my own music. I wrote my first verse, which was garbage, man. But yeah, over time practice, you know, and yeah, over time practice, man, became like, I think 18 or 19. I started getting a little recognition in my hometown and yeah, man. And then just along the way, like, I think I met up with somebody in like 2004. I met up with Killer C and then, yeah, I mean, then from there, most people kind of know, like I did Grave Plot and then, yeah, that's where I got into recognized.
You worked really hard, and you didn't even release your a real actual album until 2005. You mentioned you met recording artist Killa C in 2004. What was Killa like, and how was it like to work with him as part of Rape Pop?
Well, like, man, honestly, I have music that I did release before that as a local artist. I released some stuff around my hood and stuff where I grew up. And but none of it was noticeable, you know what I mean? And then, yeah, like when I met Killa C, I mean, he was back then. We were, you know, I mean, it was cool. We were good friends, and Yeah, man. I mean, it was cool working with him. He's one of the first people that, like, you know, when I did shows, he was actually like giving me a little bit of money here and there, like for shows. And first time I actually made like a little bit of an income from music. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it was cool, man. Yeah, he got me down there in Kansas City.
Yeah, so that's where a lot of people are probably going to know you from. So you and Kelsey went on to release an album, Putting You In, featuring Tech N9ne and Chris Kalinko, Kalinko from Strange Music. And what was it like to work with Tech N9ne, who's considered by many to be really an innovator and a guy that, you know, really tries to steer artists towards making their own way in the music industry?
I mean, yeah, the Putting You In record, man, it was more like, it wasn't really a planned thing. Like, I just know on a trip down there to Kansas City, he was like, we were planning on recording some songs together, and then he all of a sudden just had this idea to do Gravefly, and it's like a little group or whatever, and we kind of moved forward with it. And the Tech N9ne song was actually a remix of a song that he had on his solo album called Die. So we did the remix. He threw me on the remix or whatever, and then that's when Tech first heard me, like, in the studio and all that, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, it's always been good, man. Like I said, I can only be grateful for what Tech's done for my career, man. Like, the exposure and, you know, just the, I guess, some of the few things I learned from him, you know what I mean, being on tour.
Tell us a little bit about working with Tech N9ne. You know, what kind of stuff did he show you? What sorts of things do you think he does for artists outside of, you know, the fact that he is a very recognizable name now? He's pretty well established himself with Strange Music. Tell us a little bit about the sorts of things you learned working with him and touring with him.
Okay, with Tech, man, I mean, like, I feel like the biggest things I learned from him was, like, honestly, like, my stage performance. Like, if you look at it, I'm not one of the rappers that goes out there and just picks up a microphone and just raps, you know what I mean? Like, a few of my songs, I have, like, little movements and, you know, just little things that I picked up from him, because he's, like, one of the best entertainers I've ever seen in my life, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, hands down, he's one of the best live shows to do it. And definitely, like, the recording I learned from him, like, in the studio, like, I learned a lot of, like, tips how to just recording techniques, you know what I mean? Like, to make me sound more solid and more crisp, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I definitely learned a lot from all those guys over there at Strange, and when I was back with them back in the day of my distro deal.
Now, you, in 2008, Dirty Thug Records signed a distribution deal with Strange Music, and they later released The Plot Thickens nationally through Universal Fontana and Strange Music, which charted Billboard Independent. Were featured on Tech N9ne's album Killer, on Psycho Bitch 2, and an album which charted Billboard number one independent. So what was it like to see your name up there knowing that you were billed in a number one? I mean, that's got to be awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, first things first. Like, yeah, when Grave Plot came out, that was monumental for me, because that was the first time, you know, I could sit there and, like, go back to my neighborhood and, you know, bring all my friends and be like, man, let's go to Best Buy. You know, we walked into Best Buy and then I'm on the shelf next to people that we listen to. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, man, look at this, bro. Like, we're on the shelf right now. My name is on here next to Young Jeezy and Rick Ross and all these people that I'm bumping, and my album's there. Like, that was monumental for me. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like I wasn't selling CDs out of the trunk anymore. Being on Killer album, on the Tech N9ne Psycho Bitch 2, that was obviously even more monumental, because that was when Tech N9ne sold his millionth record, and I believe Killer is the first one he said, like, when it broke a million, and the song is, you know, Psycho Bitch is like, that's one of his biggest songs. And then me being on Part 2 was just kind of like, to go on Best Buy again and see my name on the back of a Tech N9ne record was just like, man, this shit's number one. Like, come on. Like, that's God. That's God today. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane.
Yeah. You know, also, you've toured well over 100 shows across. You toured well over 100 shows across the U.S. that year. You were part of the Strictly Strange tour with Tech N9ne, and you also did the Clockwork Gray tour with Psychopathic Records artist Blaze Your Dead Homie. Now, I know Blaze, I believe, is with Twisted still. I think he's over in Magic Ninja Entertainment is what they are now. But You did a lot of shows that year. What was it like to work with Blazing Dead? You know, he's an interesting guy himself, and definitely a guy that's put in a lot of work as well. So what was it like to work with him?
Blaze was cool, man. That was like one of our, I think that was a, I'm trying to think. Yeah, it was a good tour, man. Blaze was cool. You know, he's just laid back dude, chill. You know, a lot of people are, like when you look at rappers and stuff, man, you see them like, people have their own vision of them, but then when you like get to know people, like behind the music, man, it's like, that's when you really get to know, like, see what kind of person they really are, you know what I mean? And he's a cool dude. He's a stand-up guy, you know what I mean? And I got to work with him, and he was on the Apocalypse album, so, yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
he's a cool cat, man. Shows were good.
Yeah, you released that album as well. Now, you released that independently, and then you released Lost Chapters of the Apocalypse, and you've had albums that feature Tech N9ne, Paul Wall, Blaze, a number of other guys. You know, do you have any favorite people that you've worked with so far in your career? Anybody that you really enjoyed putting in a lot of work with in the studio?
Well, I mean, a lot of my features I didn't really like doing in the lab with the actual artists. I mean, like obviously like the Tech N9ne and more of the Strange ones I did, but you know, a lot of other ones like, you know, with Paul Wall and you know, a few of the other ones I just Blaze and
right.
stuff, I sent them off, you know what I mean? But my favorite collab probably like is obviously I'm gonna have to say it's probably the one I got to do with Sean Price before he passed away, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite rappers of all time, man. It's somebody I've always looked up to, and you know, to be able to do that before he passed away that's monumental to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that's gotta be very surreal. And I mean you know, one of the things that I would like to say for people that are not quite familiar with it, you've got quite the musical pedigree. You've done a lot of music with a lot of people, and let's just get into some of the shows you've done. In 2010, you did a number of shows when you were promoting your solo album, Apocalypse. You were at shows with 50 Cent, Hobson, Redman, Method Man, DMX, Pitbull, Fabolos, Chamillionaire, Lil Scrappy, Black Pegasus. I mean, you've been in a lot of shows with a lot of people. You got to have some crazy stories about some of these shows. What kind of stuff did you experience being with some of these personalities? Because these are some big names in the music industry.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of those shows you mentioned, man, it's a lot of ups and downs, man. Like I said, you get to meet when you meet some of these artists, man, you get to see their personality, you know what I mean? And like, you just get to see how they operate, how they move, and that's always cool, like, because it just gives you a vision of, like, how the industry is, you know what I mean? And, you know, there's good and bad with those shows that I did, and, like, one of the coolest ones we did, like I said, it was a show we opened for 50 Cent. That was, you know, how big he is, like, you would think he'd be just on a different, but he was actually hella cool. He actually gave us, like, he gave us an hour and a half to rock, you know what I mean? Like, and we were the only openers, me and my brother Black T. We were the only openers, and then he had to pick who the openers was, and everybody had submitted demos, and me and Black P were the only ones, like, obviously, we were the only ones that got picked, and he gave us an hour and a half, you know what I mean, to rock, and that's, like, monumental. I keep saying monumental, but that's, like, big, you know what I mean? Like, it was a huge thing, and then you got other artists that are like, man, get these dudes 5 minutes, and they'll trip off you doing 5 minutes, you know what I mean? It's crazy, and 50 Cent was one of the good shows we had, and, like, yeah, man, that was probably one of the better ones out of those, you know what I mean?
I mean, that's got to be huge. I mean, 50 Cent is definitely an icon. He's been around forever now. You know, you got to be at shows with DMX, and obviously that's another, you know, guy who's been a fixture in your industry for a while now. How hard
that
is
was
it?
A rough show. That was a rough show, man. Like, yeah, at the time, and it's not, you know, the DMX show, it was cool. Like, we got to rock and everything, but then DMX ended up coming late or something, and the show ended up getting shut down, and there's a bunch of stuff that was out of our hands, you know what I mean? So that's why I say it was a rough show.
Ouch.
But, you know, DMX is cool, man. It was a good thing, and obviously Red and Meth, that was when we did Red Man and Method Man. Red Man is, like, super cool cat. Method Man, super cool. Like, it was good rocking with those guys, too.
You also... some people might not know this, but you also appeared in the independent movie release of The Music, and you're featured on the soundtrack. What was it like to be part of a movie and be featured on the soundtrack?
It was good, man. Actually, my dude Jimmy Don, actually, he's in the film thing. He's in the film industry too, like filming videos and movies. And that was an independent film we did. And he was like, "I want you to do the title track for the soundtrack." And it's called called The Music. And I wasn't planning on being in the movie, but he had this little part where I like say one word or whatever, and I did the little part or whatever. And so I guess I made my little acting debut or whatever. It's nothing too crazy, but. Yeah, it was cool, man. I mean, definitely acting's not my thing, though. I learned from that day that acting wasn't my thing, but because, like, literally for that one little scene, I was there for hours, man, trying to just get one word right, like a couple words right. You know what I mean? Like one line. It was crazy.
So so we won't see you in very many movies to come. Then you're not feeling.
I mean, maybe like an extra or something, but not too many like lines. You know what I mean? Like. That was nerve-wracking, man, just having to, you know, say one. I'm talking about, like, one little line was, like, crazy. So I couldn't imagine how some, like, Denzel goes in there and does whole full movies and shit like that. It's just crazy.
Yeah. It is a different way. It is a different part of entertainment industry. It's a different animal entirely. Now, in 2011, you did another solo release, Cardell. You did this in tribute to your father. I've had relatives that have passed away from complications to cancer. Tell us what it was like to do that tribute album for your dad.
I mean, it was rough, man. Like, it definitely meant a lot to me. That's why there was such a gap. There was a big gap between Apocalypse and the Cardell album, because I was going through a rough period, like with the fallout with Strange and Dirty Thug and all that stuff. So it's like, I needed something to, like, I was at a point, like, I didn't know if I really want to keep grinding this music and just move forward because of where I, like, just how much it hit me, how much that all affected me. So it got to the point to where, you know, then my dad had died and I needed, like, it's almost like that gave me the inspiration to be like, man, just do this for him, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to do a whole album, like, kind of inspired by him, you know? And, yeah, that's what, I mean, it was tough, but, you know, I ended up doing it, and it got me back doing music again, so, like, I feel like everything happens for a reason in life, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. One of the great things about this album is the level of connection it had to people that listened to your music. The album itself includes a very popular song, Beast Mode, featuring Hobson, and another song, I'm Right Here. Now, these songs have become a favorite for many people.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
definitely.
One of them, Beast Mode, tallied over 1 million views on YouTube, but no video or solid promotion. Tell us a little bit about how it feels to have that kind of success. With that single,
I mean, it's cool, man. Like, definitely, it's like a lot has to do with Hobson. You know, what I mean, that was around the time when he like launched off and started taking off in his career. And I was blessed to be able to do that track with him. And you know, me and him on that song just meshed. I feel like it meshed well, and people in the fans seen that. You know, what I mean, they were like, "This is banging," you know. So. Like I said, man, somebody threw it up on YouTube and it's like almost at 2 million views or something like that now, I think. And just a song with no like promotion behind it, nothing. You know what I mean? Like, if we did a video, I couldn't imagine like where it would have went, you know?
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's great that you're really getting after this. Would you say that the Cardell album that you released, would you say that's your favorite album that you've done so far? I mean, you've got a number of albums that you've released. And I definitely want to get into them and your process on working on this stuff. But what would you say is your favorite album that you've done?
It's honestly hard to say, man. I can't really say if I have an actual favorite, man. I just have songs that I like from each album, you know what I mean? That stand out to me, that are like personal, and ones that I like, that are like my favorites, you know what I mean? That I would like put in and jam, you know?
Yeah, I mean that's cool, man. So, you know, you released the mixtape Volume 1 in 2007 with Dirty Thug Records. Then you proceeded to release two more, Apocalypse and the Lost Chapters of Apocalypse. Obviously, you released Cardell in 2011. But you also released in 2011 Mongrel, which you released in 2013, Mulatto in 2016, and then Liquid Assassin and Geno Cult Shit, 4/5/1994, which you most recently released in 2017. So you've been a very, very busy guy. Tell us a little bit about the process of getting getting together an album, getting the music together. What kind of hours do you have to spend in a studio?
I mean, really, just to clarify on that, though, back there, the Eruption album, that's a bunch of music from like the 2000, that was from like 2009, and it was like 99 and 2000, but I never actually released it, and that would technically have been one of my first records, but yeah, I mean, it's a process of basically like doing, I mean, the album, man, it's mainly the writing and the shopping for beats and all that stuff, and that's the main process for me, because like, when I get to the studio, it's just like I'm ready to lay some, get it going, so I don't really spend like crazy time recording, you know what I mean? But it's mainly my time writing and putting actual song together, which takes up a lot of my time, you know what I mean? Like hours of my day for like one song, you know what I mean? So it's definitely a process. And then I got to balance out doing these shows and everything else. I mean, features and stuff, because you still got to live off the music too, you know what I mean? And so yeah, man, it's definitely a crazy process to put together a record, you know what I mean? I'm actually working on three records right now, so...
Three records at once. You're super ambitious, man. That is ambitious.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just different styles of stuff, man. Like, I'm in a weird position right now, like, trying to... one album is all, like, some emotional stuff, like, this is dealing with personal stuff, and then one's, like, a normal record I normally do, and then I'm also doing a collab EP with Underrated. They used to be a Potluck.
Oh, cool. So
yeah.
You know, you've really got a lot going on right now. But one of the things, you know, you talk about how much time you've spent, you know, writing and shopping for the right sound. How do you feel when you find the right sound? I mean, how what kind of process do you go through to find your sound? What would you tell people that are looking to find their niche as an artist?
I mean, I would just tell people, like, just do what comes to your heart, man. Like, and it's even been hard for me to do, but I feel like that's why my music is so, like, diverse. I don't do just, like, one style of music, you know what I mean? It's like people think too much into, like, who's going to hear it? Like, they're like, man, what are they going to think when they hear this? Like, man, I don't want to do this. It's going to sound too soft, or I don't want to do this because it's going to be like, they're going to think I'm this. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, you need to just make music for yourself, and the people that relate to it are going to, you know, take it or leave it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I really like what you said there. You know, in today's pop, all about the social media and the reputation that you have before the world, you've got to worry about this certain, you know, the way that people you don't even know view you, so that you can, you know, get love and, you know, get respect and get that admiration. But I really like
right.
how real you are, because, you know, you really hit the nail on the head. You got to do you. You can't worry about what everybody else is doing.
No.
I really like to put that up. You mentioned earlier that you started listening to Brother Lynch Hung. I like Brother Lynch Hung. I'm a pretty big fan of his myself. For my own edification, what's your favorite song by him, if you have one, or favorite album?
Seasons of the Sickness, hands down.
Pretty solid album, yeah.
That's one I grew up on, yeah. That's definitely what brought, like, started me going, you know what I mean?
You know, before the show, I do a little pre-show every time on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, what have you. Give people an idea, you know, let people know we're going to be live at X time and whatnot. I talked about rap and the popular culture and how it's become such an industry, and Do you find yourself, you know, struggling to navigate the industry? I mean, what sort of pitfalls do you have to face when you're an artist trying to break into the industry that you're into?
I mean, that's, yeah, that's the story of my career, man. Like, that's the worst part of this whole, my whole fight with music, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'd have any problems really with music if it wasn't for the business of it, you know what I mean? It's just too much, the main issues I run into is, like, the business and just, I guess, the politics, how everything is now, and just watching it, how it's evolved over the years, you know? Like I said, I've been rapping, like, since 2000, man, so, like, kind of, like, doing shows and stuff. So, just seeing how much has changed over time and how much is still changing and, you know, obviously music's changing and stuff like that, but it's just crazy, man. Like, the business and also the business changes, you know? Like, it's just not what it used to be. Like, it's not some of the stuff that you used to get away with back in the day you can't do now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. You know, tell me a little bit about the change that you've seen. Because, you know, you mentioned it. You've been doing this since 2000. I mean, you've been doing this for 18 years. That is quite a run at anything. At any kind of career, that's a long time. And, I mean, you're still going. So, I mean, kudos to you, man. I mean, you're still going strong. But, you know, tell us a little bit about the evolution and the change that you've seen in the industry and just the change in rap music that you've seen.
I mean, like I said, when I first started, man, like, the biggest change has been, like, when I first started as a local, there was a point when you couldn't be just any old person. You couldn't, like, at least where I'm from, like, if you were whack, like, if you went on stage and your music was whack or somebody wasn't, like, you would get thrown off stage or somebody would throw some shit at you or, like, you get booed or, like, you know, the DJ might even cut your shit, you know what I mean? Like, you meet in the middle of a song, he'll just cut your music off, like, thinking that you're fucking the crowd up or something, you know what I mean? I can swear, right? My bad.
Yeah,
is that
you're
cool
good.
If I,
no, you're
oh, okay.
Good, man.
My bad.
You say what you want.
All right, yeah, well, that's why, yeah, man, there was just a lot more politics back then. You know, I feel like a lot of people back then had to work a lot harder to, you know, I blessedly thank God in my life, I think I only had one problem in my life where, you know, I think people were kind of giving me a hard time on stage. That was, like, in a different neighborhood. And that was, like, when I was a local, you know what I mean? But over, yeah, like, the 15 years or 16, whatever years, man, like, that's it. But now it's, like, nowadays I go to these shows and, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, it could be – it's, like, it's just about the image and it's about the gimmick. It's not about what you're saying anymore. It's, like, lyrics don't matter, you know what I mean? It's, like, people just grab the hottest beat and steal a beat from online and, you know.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because there is something –
dance around, you know what I mean? And,
yeah. I'm glad you got to that because there's something I've been dying to ask you. So there's a new trend that I've noticed has cropped up in rap music. And I listen to all kinds of music. I love it all. I found some gems in basically every genre. But there's a new trend that's come out within rap, mumble rap. I'm not really sure what's going on there. How do you feel about it?
Like I said, man, I mean, to me, I don't knock anything really. Like, I just look at it as this music evolving into something else, you know what I mean? Like, it's rap evolving into something else, whether you like it or not, you know what I mean? You can't control, I mean, you just can't control what happens, you know what I mean? Like, I can only, like, support the stuff that I do and the music I like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't never be like, oh, man, it's garbage or something like that because, I mean, I might be garbage to the next person, you know what I mean? So I can't really, like I said, I can't really put a name on it, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not my style. Like, if you're asking me, like, if it's my flavor or any of that, no, it's definitely not. I mean, like I said, I grew up on a time where it's like, I have to, like, actually sit down and write lyrics, and it takes me hours to write lyrics, but I hear some of the stuff that people on the radio and all this shit, and it's like, man, I could freestyle the shit they're saying. You know what I mean? It's like I could just think out of my head right now and just pop off,
you know, just,
and say some shit. But
just,
like, I'm,
yeah,
I don't know.
You know, just what is it? Gucci Gang song.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's something I would do if I was just sitting around and, yeah, I don't know, man.
I think about some of the time and effort that you must put into your song. When you hear something like that, that's got to be like, really? What is that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy, man, but I still, at the end of the day, I can't knock it. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're making millions of dollars off that, then you found a way. You know what I mean? Like, it is,
yeah,
what it is,
I mean,
man.
Well, I mean,
you found a way to make it happen,
yeah,
so I can't knock it.
I got to agree. Yeah. I mean, I got to agree with you. If they find a way to make millions of dollars over saying the same words, over the same set of words over and over again, and people are buying it, I guess whatever, but you know, that's got to be like a kick in the teeth to you.
It is the worst thing about it, though, is like, what's the worst kick, like what you're saying, the worst thing about it isn't the fact that it's like these people ain't recognizing you for the hard work you are putting in. It's the fact that they hear something like that and they'll say, man, this dude is the hottest thing, and then they'll hear somebody that's actually putting lyrics into their stuff and going hard and all this, that, and the other, and they say that they're trash and they suck. And I'm like, how can you say, like, but you feel this dude that's not saying anything on the track? He's telling you to go home, pop pills, and just, you know, drink lean and die. Like, he's telling you to do that shit, but you're not feeling somebody that's been some conscious shit that's actually has a meaning or telling you a story or something like that, and it's like, it just doesn't make sense to me, you know what I mean? It's like, they ain't got to be your flavor, but don't say it's whack, because when they're actually, like, spitting you, kicking you gems, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying there. So before we're going to take a commercial break here in about 5-6 minutes. But before we do, I do want to ask you one more question before we go to commercial break. What you mentioned that you love listening to Brother Lynch Hung, but did you have any other people you listened to that you really honed in on and you just really liked their style?
I mean, there's a few I listen to. Obviously, like I said, I listen to Sean Price. On the hip-hop side, I mean, I listen to Sean Price. I mean, Lil Bibby, Kevin Gates, Outkast. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, besides rap, I mean, I listen to all kinds of music, man. Like, it's not just rap. Like, but those are some of the ones that stand out as far as that. Big Pun.
That's really cool that you stay, you know, real loose with your influence and real loose with the things that you like. You know, I think, and you might not see it this way, but I think that gives you an advantage. You know, being open to so many different sounds, you can pick, you know, you can kind of find things that you might not have thought of before. You know, the old saying of staying in your lane. You stay in your lane, you might see something somebody else has got and might learn a little something from that.
Yeah, true, yeah. You definitely could soak up something from everything you listen to. For real, you can take some tips from just, like, what you hear, you know what I mean? I mean, you're always evolving, man. I'm always, like, you know, when you're, especially in this music game, it's like, I feel like I still haven't reached my peak, you know, and I've been rapping this long, but it's like I'm still learning new things and I'm still trying to, like, expand more, you know what I mean? Like, I used to have fears of singing, but now I harmonize and sing a lot more of my songs, so it's just, it's getting there, man.
All right. Well, we're going to go to commercial break. And Liquid, I've met you on Messenger, so you'll know when the break is over. If you want to take a drink or you want to kick back, commercial break be about 3 minutes long. But before we go to commercial break, here at Totally Driven, we do have a proud new sponsor. He's funny, he's wacky, and he's crazy. Do check out ChrisFraglyPresents.com. And when we come back, Liquid, we're going to talk a little bit about your tour, but we're also going to talk a little bit more about your albums, man, because you've got a lot of work that you put in, and I definitely want to give you the opportunity to talk more about your work.
Okay, bet, yeah, for sure, man.
I'm Black Man, saving man's eyes, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard. Pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer.
For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right, everybody, we're back. Liquid, hope you enjoyed the break, man. Before we left, man, we were talking about your influences, some of the people you like. Definitely want to get more into your albums. But before we do, is there anybody in the industry right now? You know, we talked about Tech Nine, we talked about Hobson, but is there anybody right now in the industry that you're just feeling? Anybody out there right now really speaking to you work-wise?
Kevin Gates or Lil Bibby. Yeah. There's a few that stand out for
That's me. Cool.
I mean, on the hip hop end, like, I still want to work with, like, Just Allah and a few other cats.
Nice. Nice. So we've talked a little bit about your album, but we didn't really get really into them. Now, as much as we could, and I definitely want to do that. So, you know, I mentioned that you did Mongrel. Your CD in 2013, you did that with Brass Knuckle Entertainment. Take us through your process of getting that together. You got to work with Ritz and Twisted and a few other people, you know. But really, it's another great album for you. So what was it like putting that album together?
That was actually on my own label, man. That was on 42 Records. I mean, it had the Brass Knuckle stamp on there, and that was just out of respect for my my buddy Black P. That, you know, I recorded it, some of it at his spot or whatever, or his engineer mixed it. So I was just showing love back for that. But that's actually my first solo. Well, Cardell was my first solo release, and then on my own label, and so was Mongrel. But that album was great, man. I mean, it's that was like a follow up to obviously to Cardell, and I was like, I felt like I got back in my groove, you know, like doing some hyped up, you know, anthem stuff, and then some of my normal stuff too, you know what I mean? And I got to work, you know, working with Rich and Twisted, and just all the features on there. Yeah, man, it turned out being a really good album, man. It's one of my, I feel like it's one of my more solid projects, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of real bangers on there, if I do say so myself. I mean, you got to work with Recognize and Black Pegasus, and you got to do you know, we mentioned Ritz and Twisted, but I mean, you also got to work with Jared of Het PE. What was that like? Working with them.
That was cool, man. That was actually really cool because I actually met them on the tour with Twisted and. Just with the band and stuff like that, and I actually went up there every night and kicked a freestyle during their live band, and we just kind of developed a cool little, you know, friendship, and then we ended up doing the song. So yeah, it was cool, man.
I mean, that's awesome. Now, you also did another CD in 2016, Mulatto. You know, take us into that album a little bit. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what went into that album, and. You know, is that, you know, that we actually played one of the songs from that. I actually really enjoyed your song, My Drug. But what all do you find influenced this album in particular?
That one I was starting to be more on a personal level, man, not as many features and stuff like that. And, you know, just a few more hip hop beats. We go back to my roots of, like, you know, not as many like trap beats and stuff like that. And just try to express my lyrics a little more. And, yeah, man, I wanted to make it different than Mongrel, you know what I mean? So I try to do that every record, so I think I was successful with that. And, yeah, but it basically showcased myself more, you know, do a lot more solo stuff on there.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm glad you bring that up, because in your most recent, the most recent album that I've seen by you, 4-5-1994, is another album which you did a lot of singles. You did a lot of your own thing. And is that something that you're trying to get more and more towards, is really kind of honing your own craft? And how important is that for young artists to know when it's time to really hone in on their craft and focus on their sound?
I mean, it's one of the most important things, man. Like, you don't want to get distracted, like caught up in, you know, putting the attention on just other artists, you know what I mean? Like, it's your album, you know what I mean? You don't want to just get caught up in doing that every single time where it's just like you're a feature on your own album, you know what I mean? But, so I feel like it's really important, man. And then, you know, like the 4-5 was me and Gino together. That was my brother Gino that passed away. We did that record together before he passed away. And, that's one of those toughest records I've ever had to put out in my life, so. And had a tour, you know? Because like, we were supposed to be touring that together, but, you know, obviously the circumstances of him passing away and stuff like that, I still fulfilled that by going on tour myself and rapping it and leaving his lyrics on there and, you know, just trying to do what we plan to do ourselves, you know?
Yeah, and I really am glad you brought that up, because you are an artist that's faced a lot of adversity. Not just an artist that's faced a lot of adversity. You're a person that has faced a lot of adversity. Tell us how hard it is to stay on that grind, because, you know, you and I were talking before the show, and it is a grind to continue to pump out your craft and to continue to be on these tours. How hard is it to face down the things that you've had to face down and keep pushing forward?
I mean, it's one of the most difficult tasks of my life, you know what I mean? It's like, it's my job, and, you know, it's all of it mixed in one. It's my job, my love, my passion, everything, you know. It's like all the bad and good of my life, man. It's like, you're just putting it all into one thing and trying to run with it and deal with all the extra stuff around it, man. Like, dealing with, you know, you got fans, you got their emotions, you know, you got people around you, like, your family, like, what, you know, they're around you, and, you know, they got their, what they think of you, what they think of what you're doing and everything. And, you know, if you got a love life, you got to deal with that. And what, it's just balancing so many things and trying to still do what you love the most, you know what I mean? And with stuff happening, it's crazy, man.
Would you say that some of the challenges that you have faced have made you a better artist in person? And how important is it to you that people resonate with your music, that your, or that I should say, that your music resonates with people?
That's everything, man. That's definitely the, like, that's my whole meaning of doing music. I pray that somebody can understand, you know what I mean? Like, because it's so easy for me to do these kind of songs. Like, I see a lot of rappers that do music, and it's always like on some, you know, if you hear a lot of people, they don't pour their heart out. There's not a lot of rappers that do that, you know what I mean? And I do it because this is the fuel that I'm getting fed from just what I've been through and all the stuff I've been through in this music game, you know what I mean? So you hear about a lot about that in my music, and I feel like my diehard fans and people, mainly like other local rappers, are like, I have a lot of my fans are like other rappers, you know what I mean? Like local rappers coming up, and they're like, man, I look up to you so much. And it's just like, because they're starting to see that, like, that stuff happened to them, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
man, I mean, that's everything to me. That's everything. When I write a song, that's my main thing. I'm like, you know, I pour my heart out, but I'm just like, I pray it touches somebody, you know, like my drug. So,
yeah, I mean, and that's really, really an awesome goal to have with your work. Now, I've got to ask you, you know, you mentioned before in the show that, you know, how much the industry's changed, and a lot of things that you can get away with now, you couldn't get away with before, and vice versa. What kind of challenges would you say that a young artist needs to be wary of coming into the industry? What sort of things should they be careful of?
Man, who you trust? That's the main thing. Like, who you trust, who you if you ever sign a record deal, if you whoever you have manage you, whoever you have, like, this, I mean, nowadays it's like, man, you got to just focus on yourself, man. Like, it's just that's what it is. You know, I've learned that. I've had people I've known my whole life, and that you think are there, like, that got your back 100%, just do you bogus. You know what I mean? Like, do you wrong, or, you know, you think that this person has your best interest in mind, but it changes when money gets involved, when you know, especially a lot of money gets involved or something like that, then people start showing their, like, what's more important, like your friendship or that money, you know what I mean? And you just never know who to trust, man. Like, I would say that's the biggest thing that people got to be wary of, is make sure that you have everything set in place for yourself, that, you know, all ends are tied, and, you know, there's no open gaps or none of that stuff that can fuck some shit up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, you have put in a lot of work. You put in a lot of time and a lot of effort into getting to where you are, and it's brought you success. What do you think a young artist needs to do to find that kind of success? How do they break into this industry? Because, you know, despite the fact that there are so many rappers, I mean, there are a lot. There's a lot of different styles of rap. There's a lot of different, labels that you can sign with that you might get noticed by. But how does one break into this industry that you've broken into?
I feel like, honestly, man, it's all about who you know. It's all about who you come across and the people that you're connected to, that you can, you know, that are connected. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you know, like, if you know who, like, to make it simple, like, if I know who Jay-Z is, and me and Jay-Z talk on the daily, like, I'm probably going to pop. You know what I mean? Like, he can make me pop. Like, Jay-Z has the strength to put me indoors with certain people and shake hands with certain people. So it's really all about who you know. Like, I know a few people, and I've known people over the years, obviously me, you know, when I got to meet Tech and do all this stuff, that boosted my career. If I was just some random dude that never got to meet Tech and I still had all the same music I have now, it would have been a lot harder. I had to work a lot harder for people to start hearing my music. It would be like a small organic growth instead of like Tech N9ne being like, hey, check out Liquid Assassin, I'm Psycho Bitch kind of growth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you bring that up because
it's that and money,
yeah,
you know, money is a big thing. It's just that money, and, you know, like, money's a big thing too. You know, you got to have money to be heard, you know, to, like, get on show. Like, just that's how the game is too now. You know, people are paying to go on tours and, you know, do all this stuff. It's not how it used to be. It's not, talent used to be like the main thing back in the day, but now talent is like the most minimal thing. Like, now it's your image, is if you got money, it's about who you know and all this extra bullshit. So it's just honestly a business that you don't want to get into. You know what I mean? It's not worth getting into anymore. You know, that's what I feel like.
I'm really glad you've been so forthcoming with that. I know that it's been a heavily romanticized, you know, the music industry as a whole is very romanticized. We've got movies, we've got artists, you know, talking about the glam and the glitz of being in of being famous. You know, everybody wants to be a rock star, movie star. It's like a picture I saw a long time ago. You know, everybody wants to do barbarian shit till it's time to do barbarian shit. Right?
Right.
Everybody wants to be famous until they're famous, and then they don't want to be famous anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
So
yeah,
you're
man,
on
I,
this
I agree.
Tour right now. You're on this tour right now. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you're kind of struggled with being sick. But, you know, have you had how is it going in general? Has it been a fun time? Have you seen a lot of appearance from people that you know and fans and whatnot? How is that going?
Oh, it's always a good time, man. Like, I can't complain, man. Being out here, I'm actually the co-headliner on this tour, man, for King Crooked, if you know who that is. He's from Slaughterhouse, mm-hmm. Eminem's label, Shady Records, and formerly Crooked Eye. But and being around him, he's even been rapping longer, and he's been around, like, you know, some people, he's been around, like, being around Tupac and all these other people. It's just, like, it's even more information I'm learning from him, like, that he had passed to him, like, he's passing down to me, you know what I mean? So it's, like, he's told me some things that I've learned some crazy. It's just, that's the beauty of being on tour with somebody. You know what I mean? That, like, when I say you get to meet these people behind the music, because he's actually taught me a lot of gems just being on this tour. And man, it's and another beautiful thing about this tour is, like, every city I go to, it's like, you know, I have my own little people that come out that wait for me to come back to town. You know, that's the only crazy part is, like, you know, you'll leave where you were at last night, and then you might have got, you know, if you had too many drinks or whatever, you know, partying. You come to the next city to meet your little people that come out. They're, like, ready to party. It's like a whole new day for them. But for you, it's like you're doing the same shit over. So it's like it's kind of rough on your body, too. It's like every new day is like a new party. You know what I mean? Like, they're ready to go. And, like, you've been doing it for a whole month. So it's like, yeah, you get the idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're going to be – you're suffering that you're suffering that month-long hangover.
Basically, yeah, man. I'm trying to slow down drinking. Trying to slow down drinking, man. I don't, you know, but it's just, I'm kind of dude that needs, like, at least a shot or two before I, you know, just get in the venue to calm the nerves and stuff. Cause I have, like, bad anxiety and stuff, but, you know, it just gets crazy. You know, then your friends are like, oh, let me buy you a shot. Or your fans are like, let me buy you a shot every night. And it's like, you don't want to be that guy that, you know, I don't like turning it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the guy that doesn't take this.
Right.
That's definitely, nobody wants to be that guy, Liquid, so you're not alone. Nobody wants to be that guy. I've never turned down a shot.
Right. Yeah, I see.
So you've put in a lot. You know, we've talked about your albums. We've talked about your tour. But tell us a little bit about the schedule of a tour and what it's like to be on tour. Is it hectic? Does it often go pretty smooth? You know, give us a feel for what it's like to be on tour.
I mean, it's definitely like, if you've never done it, people from the outside looking in think it's like the best thing in the world. They're like, man, oh, I'd love to be on tour. I'd love to do this. And they think it's like the easiest shit in the world, but it's honestly, man, it's hard, man. Living out of a bag and in a hotel room and then, you know, just going from all the long drives and, you know, every night, like I said, it's like you're around new group of people that want to party and do all this stuff, and it's like all that stuff mixing in, like the food you're eating, man, like all the styles, like you're eating a lot of fast food, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you don't have the option, and some people don't eat that, you know, and like I'm not really a fan when I'm home of eating McDonald's and Burger King and all this stuff, but on the road it's like that's what I'm eating, you know what I mean? And it's just crazy. It's rough, you know what I mean? It's definitely rough, and it wears and tears on your body for sure, you know what I mean?
It's not as sexy as it sounds, huh?
No, not at all, man, no.
You know, so,
but it is cool.
So
it has its perks, though.
So it's not all groupies and five-star restaurants, huh?
No, hell no. There's not, I ain't had one five-star restaurant since I've been on this tour. No. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think that's something else we should talk about is, you know, what would you say about the way that the industry is portrayed by artists now? Key example, I guess we could talk about, you know, Young Money Records and how they portray, you know, the rap lifestyle. You've got guys like Drake and women like Nicki Minaj who come out and basically all their songs are about the parties and the women and the fancy hotels and the airliner jets and all that goody stuff. You mentioned, you know, the fast food, the driving, living out of a bag.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like it's incomparable, man. Like I'm pretty sure, like, you know, with Drake, I mean, he has the kind of money that, you know, he probably, that is what he's doing. You know what I mean? That's like, he doesn't have to sit in a truck and drive around and do all that. And, you know, I mean, he probably is eating 5-star meals and stuff on jetliners and shit. You know what I mean? So he's honestly living that life. So it's really not comparable, but the underground rappers know like how hard it really is. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's levels to it, man. You know, then you're like the technology level. You're on a tour bus and stuff like that. It's like you might eat some of the same food. They still make stops and they eat at these at certain restaurants and shit like that. But they're not. And you got the level of like, you know, like probably Lil Wayne's and Drake's and all that shit that are taking jetliners and stuff like that. So and that they're actually touring. I mean, they're just doing like fucking big stadium shows here and there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier for them, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought up the distinction, you know, between what many would call the mainstream, which is what I mentioned, you know, what some people call party rap or you know, poppy stuff.
Yeah.
Versus what you guys do, what you and guys like Tech and some of the people you've worked with, you know, Twisted and Jelly Roll and all these guys, you know, how important is it for you, distinction wise, to separate yourself from what many perceive to be the mainstream? Do you pride yourself on being, you know, amongst the underground rappers?
Yeah, I mean, I pride myself as an underground a lyricist. Cause, I mean, I'm actually respected as a lyricist, you know, but I don't force myself to be like, I'm an underground rapper, you know, that's just where I got put. That's what people hear my music, they're like, oh, he's an underground rapper. Like, don't get me wrong, like, if I was put on the level of, I've never been one of those guys that's like a lot of the other underground rappers that are like, oh, I never turn mainstream. I never do this. I never do that. Like if I was like mainstream, somebody put me on mainstream, I would not complain about it. Like I wouldn't care if like, you know, if Drake came knocking on my door and was like, hey man, we gonna do this. Like I would do that. You know what I mean? Like I would, and it's not because I'm like on some sellout or this and the other. I just feel like it'd be a bigger crowd of people that are hearing my message. You know what I mean? Now it's like the radios are hearing what I got to say. And the people that a whole fan base of mainstream rappers or fans are hearing what I got to say now. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm just in underground because that's where they place me. You know what I mean? This is what people, critics and fans, is where they put me, but I make music to make music. That's it.
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up because that is something that a lot of people talk about when they talk about underground music. You don't want to make it mainstream. You won't be as edgy. You won't be as cool. Nothing is unique anymore if you break into the mainstream. But people seem to not understand that the goal is to become the new mainstream. Right? I mean, you didn't get into to just, you know, do your music and make a little bit of money. I mean, you wanted to make a difference, right? I mean, you want people to hear what you've got to say. And the bigger the audience, the better.
The better.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man, I mean, like I said, everything's just it's that's how the world works, man. It's like everything that we do nowadays is like if you look at it, it's like everything's segregated no matter what it is. Like people always got to have a label on it, and if there's one way, then there's another group of people that like the other way. You understand what I'm saying? Like it can't never just be rap music, you know what I mean? Like why does it got to be mainstream music and underground music here? Why does it got to be, you know, it's just everything's competition, you know what I mean? And it's crazy.
Yep.
But I try to separate myself from that. I just want to make music. And if I have a song I put out that sounds like a mainstream song, well, this group of my fans will get mad. But then if I put out this song where it's like too underground, then the mainstream cats are like, well, it's too dark or too, you know, it's too violent or something. Like, I just, it's music. It's all the same shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. I'm really glad that we're fleshing this out, because I think it's going to be helpful to people. So,
yeah,
Liquid, you've been on here for quite a while, and I've only got a few more questions for you because I know that you're very busy.
Yeah.
The next question I've got for you is, where can people catch your current tour? Where is your upcoming stops? Where do people need to go to catch Liquid Assassin live?
Well, we only have a few stops left, man. We got 3 shows left, I believe, on this. We got Omaha, Nebraska tonight, and then we got Quincy, Illinois tomorrow, and then the next day we got Menasha, Wisconsin, and then I fly home. So we got 3 dates left, and then I'm going to go home, work on some studio stuff, and get right back on the road probably this summer. So, the best spot to just check me out on just my Liquid Assassin page on Facebook, and I have updates as far as like the tours coming up and stuff like that, and what I'm working on and stuff.
Absolutely, and you're also on Twitter, isn't that correct? You are on Twitter.
Yeah. Actually, I use Twitter a little more too. I use Twitter and probably a little more. So my Twitter, Facebook.
So it's such a valuable resource now for connecting with people.
Yeah, simple, man.
Now I've only got a couple more for you. So that's for your upcoming things. You mentioned you're working on 3 albums right now?
Yeah,
currently,
2 albums
all
and
at
an
the
EP.
Same time?
Yeah, yeah.
2 albums and
yeah,
an EP.
Yeah.
Where are the best – when you release your albums, where do people need to go to find them?
Basically, like iTunes, man. Like just iTunes or Spotify or just all the digital stuff now, man. Like I don't – hard copies are kind of going out. I'll still have hard copies to press up and stuff, but for when I go on tour. But, yeah, basically just like online, man. Like all the digital carriers.
Absolutely. And Liquid, I've got one more question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to let you go, man. I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And I know you're a busy guy. You got another show coming up. You get some more spare time, I'd love to have you come on again. You be down to come on
again? Okay, yeah, for sure, man. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Sweet,
for
man.
Sure.
Sweet. Definitely want to have you on again. And you just let me know. You got my contact info. You let me know, man, and we can definitely cut it up again.
Yeah, for sure, bro.
Well, good luck to you, Liquid. Enjoy your show tonight, man. Good luck with your upcoming tour. Looking forward to having you on. And hey, man, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course, man. I appreciate you having me, man. Thank you for having me, bro.
No problem, man. It's always a pleasure. You enjoy your show tonight, man. You take it easy.
Yeah, for sure, man. Much love, man. Make sure everybody out there, shout out to everybody back home in east side of St. Paul, my 4-2 cats, everybody. Check out the new single. It's on Spotify right now, Royce the 5-9, man. Much love.
Absolutely. You take care, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Yep. Got it. Another great interview. Had Liquid Assassin on. Check him out on Twitter. Check out his new single on Spotify. Check him out on iTunes. He's got some great music. I only got to play a little bit of his music on here, but guys, check out his work. Hardworking guy, putting in lots of work on the road. Really gave us a great inside look on what it's like to be in the rap industry, and what a complicated industry it is to be in. But guys, that's all I've got for you today. Hope you enjoyed the show. And again, can't say it enough to Liquid Assassin. Really appreciate him coming on the show, taking time out of his busy schedule. Good luck to him and all the people involved in this. Stay safe, guys. Don't party too terribly hard. Get some rest. And I will see you all on Sunday for Straight Football Talk. And when I have the update from Joey Lethal, we will find out if she'll be on next week. Otherwise, we will continue as scheduled. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your week. This has been another episode of the Bareback Facts. Take it easy, everybody.